All right, folks, good morning. Give me one more second
here.
Okay, so good morning, everybody. We are very fortunate today to have a wonderful interview. Heidi Kasama, she's the manager of our Summerlin office, also one heck of a real estate agent, also state president, okay, for the board and realtors. So, Heidi, you have to hit *6 on your phone in order for us to hear you. *6 so you become unmuted. If you could do that, please.
Can you hear me now?
We sure can.
Okay, wonderful. Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. So I gave them the quick interview. Why don't you just, I would love you to tell them a little bit about yourself, how long you've been doing this, all that good stuff, please.
Wow. Okay. Well, I started my career actually as a CPA. So I was a CPA in the Seattle area for 20-some years. I did audits, taxes, foreign tax returns. I audited a lot of the universities. I was a housing and dining bond specialist, auditing all the major universities in Washington State. Also did health and welfare organizations audits for those. So, but I always had an incredible love for real estate. So I would drive down the road and pick up all those flyers in the flyer boxes and think, wow, that would be really good to buy or do that. And I think I bought my first property when I was 22 and continued to accumulate different investments. And eventually, when we sold our CPA practice in Seattle, and I had actually gotten my real estate license in 1990 in Seattle. I was still a CPA, but my husband was like, why don't you get your real estate license and get a referral fee? For those of you that are listening that maybe at this point can't dedicate yourself full-time to real estate, that was certainly a smart thing that I did at the beginning in my real estate career. So had my license. I got hooked up with some really good real estate agents. And I would just refer them the business. They would do all the work, and I would get a referral check. It was not bad while I was a full-time CPA. And
awesome.
Then, yes, and that was excellent. I did it actually for quite a few years. And then eventually we ended up selling our CPA practice, my husband and I, in the Seattle area. And then I jumped into real estate full-time there for just a year or two before coming to Las Vegas. And I immediately just loved it. I was like a fish in water. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I should have been doing this for the last 20 years. It was just so fun, so interesting. As you can imagine, from doing audits and taxes to going out and doing open houses, meeting people, driving them around the car, stopping for coffee with them, I'm like, this is work. This was incredible. Loved it. Yeah.
from crunching numbers to talking to people. Yeah, well, of course, it always helps if you like people.
Yeah, which I always did, and I was always, you know, no matter what profession you have, being able to communicate with people, understand them, and most importantly, listen to them, it is incredible to be successful no matter what you're doing. And I was actually brought a lot of business into our CPA firm, and people would specifically ask for me on the large state audits because I got along with people. And I could get them to cooperate with me and pull invoices for me and get me the information I needed to complete the audit. And if they didn't like you, they could make the job drag out for another week or two. And so I was always successful in, you know, being with people and telling them, we're a team. I'm not here to audit you. I'm here to fulfill an obligation you have with your bonds or covenants. And so let's work together to meet those requirements. And so So those are all skill sets. I always tell people when I visit to them, we learn different skill sets no matter what our past profession or jobs have been. And it's always growing on those. And real estate is just a wonderful place where you can bring a lot of those things together. And then when we decided to move down to Las Vegas here in 2002, we didn't know a soul, didn't know anybody in this town. My husband decided Las Vegas would be good because he loves golf. So we ended up down here.
Peter.
Yeah, I know. That's Peter. And so, and I thought, he's like, oh, you can just go work as a CPA for one of the casinos. And I'm like, you're the one that wants to move. I don't know if I want to do that. And so I thought, I'm going to prove it to him. I'm going to be very successful just at real estate. And so the way I launched my career here, not knowing a soul, and many of you listening have family, friends, and some sphere of influence in this town. And when I came, I didn't have any. And my choice to build my business was open houses. And
yep.
I did open houses probably 3 or 4 days a week. I was out there constantly. And like many of you, I didn't have any listings. I wasn't successful. So I was going around to the agents in the office asking if I could hold their listings open, and just found a network of agents I could work with and started holding open houses just constantly. And my entire business was built off of the open houses, working with people, slowly getting referrals. I think I closed in the first 12 months after I got my license here, like 22 deals. And so, but I was constantly working it. And, you know, I'll be honest, it bewilders me when I see people that want to come into the business and they say they want to work it full time, and I ask them what they're doing, and I don't understand why you're not doing open houses 5 days a week, because it's your profession, it's your job. Get up in the morning and go do something. And if I wasn't doing an open house, I was driving around to new home builder sites. I'm sure I picked up a few clients just from hanging around new home builder sites, because I was just determined to make this work and be as successful in this as I had been as a CPA. And so I wanted to replace that income and earn more and prove that I could. And so I was in coffee shops. I strolled around malls. I just struck up conversations with people and just began to engage as many people as I could. And that's how I really launched it down here in Las Vegas. And then I worked for another company, and, you know, ignorance is bliss. Within a year, I thought they didn't have a very good infrastructure, so I decided to go open up my own business. I brought the Windermere Real Estate franchise down from Seattle and started that here. I had a couple other, I invited a couple other people to join me. And I grew that to about 80 agents in 3 years, all by word of mouth. And then I guess the rest is kind of history. Mark Stark called me up and said, "Hey, I hear good things about you." And I didn't know who he was. And he said, "Let's have lunch." And I said, "No, I'm not interested in joining your company. I have my own company." And he goes, no, you know, we'll work together sometime. Our agents will." He says, just do lunch. So if any of you know Mark, I'm like, "Well, okay, I can meet you for lunch." I didn't know who he was. There's a guy waving in the corner of a restaurant trying to catch my attention. And we sat down, and as many of you know, Mark is incredibly charming, incredibly persuasive. And he said, "We know, we honestly, we've got to work together." And somehow or another, he persuaded me to have me bring my company over to Prudential at that time, which of course now is our wonderful Berkshire Hathaway. And I did, and it was a great move. It's been a great partnership for us. And Mark lived up to his word. He's an incredible leader, has a great heart for the agents, and it's been a great partnership.
Yeah. No, it's so great. And, you know, I'm in the corporate office all the time, and I see the volume of people that Mark meets with. And just like you, Haiti, you know, as we all figured out, some of us earlier than others, that it's a people business. And the sooner you get better at people skills, the better off you're going to be. That's why I'm also so excited that you've agreed to come and do one of my interviews this week at Success Series.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was a... Yeah, and that was some really good stuff in there. And, you know, I every time I speak with you and ask you questions and I learn something new. The last time I talked to you, I learned that you ran, you bought and ran your own mobile home park for a while, too, which was, I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was one of my investments. My first, my parents were immigrants to this country from Norway, and they left Norway when it was a poor country. My cousins are calling me up going, "It's rich now. We have a lot of money in Norway. We discovered oil. You should come back." But when my parents left, there was no money there. It was really kind of a poor country. And they came to America, like many immigrants, to you know, build their life and have a dream. And I would have to say that I think one of the reasons I'm so passionate about real estate is because My parents really struggled. They were in Brooklyn, New York City. That's where I was born, actually. And I didn't learn English till I went to public school, PS 105 in Brooklyn, and started to bring English home. But I saw my parents constantly struggling, and life was hard. My father took a job up in Alaska to try and get money when the economy was bad, and he said, meet us in Seattle. That's how we ended up there. There's a lot of Norwegians up there. And that was the first time they bought a house in Seattle, of course, less expensive than New York, even if you didn't have much money. And it really changed our lives. And that's why I'm so passionate, because when we had a house, I felt like we lived in a castle. It was just a little house in a suburb in Seattle. But, you know, there was no landlord increasing our rent. There was no landlord telling us whether you could put a picture on the wall or not. And, you know, I think we had a sense of home, a sense of being grounded. And, you know, my parents poured their love into the house, fixing things up and doing things there. And so, and God bless them, they never had too much. My parents have passed away. But I looked around even at a young age and I thought, a college education and real estate. And I always felt that those were important. I put myself through college. And I think I was a single mom at 21, or I think 22. I talked somebody into selling me their house. I don't even think I put money down. I'm sure it was illegal, whatever I talked them into doing. knowing all my responsibilities now as a real estate agent, and I remember at closing I got money back. Like I said, I'm sure I don't know how I talked these people into doing this. They sold me this house. I got money back at closing. I'm like, whoa, this is incredible. So I had the bug to buy more real estate. And then a couple years later, I talked the person across the street into selling me their house. It had a big lot. I subdivided it, sold that off to a builder. Then I bought a fourplex and ran it myself. I cleaned gutters, painted, planted plants, and changed light bulbs and did everything myself. And then I bought a mobile home park, and then I bought another larger one, and just continued to invest and roll things over. For those of you that are listening, you know, it's not only an incredible career in real estate for you to earn money at and for you to help people live their dreams, but one of the things you really want to think about is to start investing in your own properties, because I truly believe it's the foundation for building wealth in this country. And so, you know, when the opportunity comes for you to, you know, find a little investment or go together with somebody, my rule of thumb, I'm not saying I still follow it now, but at that time, I was young and working hard, and my rule of thumb was if it just covered the cash flow, I bought it. If I could get into it, I just bought it.
Yep.
And not one of those was bad for me. I've done very well on many of them.
And that's such a great advice. In our three markets, California, Arizona, and Nevada. California, you'd have to put a lot down to have that happen. But Arizona and Nevada, you can definitely do that. And it's just at a lot of times still have positive. But that won't last forever. So I agree with you.
No.
And now you've been doing this for a while, so now you're out there going to Washington and you know, representing us in the state of Nevada, and now you're out there protecting realtor rights, right?
Yeah, and I'm I feel like the industry has been good to me. So I remember years ago somebody found out I was a CPA down at GLVR, and they said, "Oh, could you help us on the finance committee?" I'm like, "No, I have no time for that. Please." Join the finance committee. So I did. And then pretty soon they're like, you need to run for the board. I'm like, no, I have no time. And then you need to run for, you know, executive office. No, I don't have any time. And then I don't know what happened. Then pretty soon I'm president of Greater Las Vegas Association of Realtors. And then I was encouraged to run for the state. And I just finished my year as president for the Nevada Realtors. And so that's been an honor for me to serve and give back. The National Association of Realtors has also tapped me because of my financial background. So I'm on the finance committee for the National Association of Realtors. They fly me out to Chicago a couple times a year and help oversee. That's a $250 million budget we have for all of you. That is your organization, your part of what your due dollars go to. Our largest efforts, really, that I think people don't see, on the local board level, of course, running the association, the MLS, you know, ethics, hearings, arbitration, helping you with rules, and that is really the strength of the local association. When you get up to the state association and the National Association of Realtors, I don't know if everybody realizes, but the state association, we are the largest lobbying trade group in the state of Nevada. We are also now the largest lobbying trade group in the entire nation. We surpassed the National Rifle Association, which was always considered the number one lobbying group, and the National Association of Realtors is now the number one lobbying group, trade association in the U.S. And so what we do, and your little on your dues, there's a little PSF, I think it's $35 or $50, please always contribute. You would be amazed and shocked, as I was the more I got into the business, the constant threats or roadblocks to home ownership. And so we use that money to fight, you know, anytime they're trying to overstep the bounds legislatively for homeowner rights. They've been constantly trying to put a sales tax on our real estate commissions. I don't know if everybody realizes that. So every year we are fighting to make sure that a sales tax is not put on real estate commissions. They put the commerce tax. We got we fought against that. We tried to have us completely exempted. We got a $4 million exemption there, which covers, you know, the majority of everybody. And so those are things that – those are real hard dollars we've saved people from all of these lobbying efforts. And we continue to do that, you know, unfair seizing of property. I could go on and on. We're very involved with
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, you know, with even lending guidelines, you know, it's so hard now, and some of those things are good, but we're trying to get it certainly loosened up for FHA, condo financing. I've been very adamant when I'm in Washington, D.C. about loosening up the FHA requirements for condos, because they talk about us having a housing shortage, and you can't get loans on these condos all over the place. And so that's a huge thing that we did, because before you had to have over 65% ownership in a condo association before they would loan on it. We got that reduced to 50%, which was a huge win to us, and now we're at 35% home ownership. But one of the fights we're having is some of the banks still have overlays, so we're trying to have the federal government help us to have the local banks with their overlays release that, because you would have affordable housing right there with all the condos if you would open it up and not have these restrictions. And so that's another thing I'm constantly fighting on too.
Yeah, and tax benefits and all that good stuff too. Absolutely. So it's important. You know, it's really important to have someone like you up there, and we really appreciate that. So, okay, so now what I like to do is, because obviously, I mean, you have tremendous experience in the business. You've been doing this a long time. So I always like to ask this question, because it's, I think it's very valuable no matter what level you're at. So let's pretend you're brand new, newer, or you're on this call because, you know what, I've had enough. I know I can be doing better. All right, so from your point of view, Haiti, what would be the three most important things you would tell somebody, okay, to focus on, okay, to either come out of the gates, you know, cranking, or, you know, take your business to the next level? What would be the three most important things, and describe each one if you could for me, please?
Well, first of all, you know, we can do a lot of training, but if you're not willing to work, I grew up with an incredible work ethic, and I don't know if I'm smarter than anybody else, but I can tell you I've probably outworked anybody else. And you know, you want to be smart with what you do, but you got to be willing to get up and work. You know, we can give you all the training and tell you what to do and tell you what to say. If you're not willing to get up and get to work, and on Monday set up your open houses, or Monday set up who you're going to call, or whatever way you choose to build your business, there's many ways, and they're all successful. But for heaven's sake, you know, I'm bewildered, because this business isn't that hard. You just got to be willing to work. No. You know, just get up, have a schedule, get up, get dressed, show up, have a plan, and get out there and start working. And you'll be successful. Just put in the time and the effort. So number one is be willing to work. Be willing
I
to
love
work.
It.
And don't find out all these excuses why you can't get up or I got a cold. I mean, if you're working for somebody, you'd go in there if you had a cold. I mean, if you're Tesla ill, we don't want you around. But you know, you'd still show up to work. You have a sniffle. Now, you know, real estate, well, I'm an independent contractor, so I think I'll just rest for 2 days. It's ridiculous.
Well,
so,
let me tell you, from me, you get a super amen. Woo!
Yeah.
I totally agree with that one.
So it's being willing to work and have a work ethic. And then number two, you got to have a plan. You know, if you don't have a plan, you're just wandering down the path and you'll end up nowhere. You must have a plan and a path where you want to go and how you're going to accomplish that. So, you know, that's your goals and your business plan. How are you going to do this? And so, you know, like I always tell people, choose your poison. You know, do open houses, call on the phone, go door knocking, go networking at events, do a combination of those, but plan it. Just don't hope it's going to come. I will assure you, 100%, I'm telling you right now, if you're waiting for the business to come to you, get out of the business. Go get a job someplace. You've got to go out there and seize it, and you've got to make it happen. And so get out there with a plan so that you know what you're going to do. I'm going to door knock Monday. I'm going to set up my open houses. I'm going to call 5 people a day of my sphere of influence. I'm going to go to 2 events that are not real estate related, because you don't need to go to all these events where there's 50 real estate agents. You need to go, you need to be involved in other network events where there aren't real estate agents, because you're looking for business. Your goal is looking for business. And some of those networking events are fine. We learn things from them. But for growing your business, get involved with groups and businesses where you will meet people. And so develop a plan and do that and stick to a schedule. Stick to a schedule. And then be, you know, number three, I would say, you know, your goals and your plan. And then number three is be consistent. And so you've got to give these things time, and you must be consistent. So if you're going to establish this is what I'm going to do, stick with it. It might not work the first week or the second week or the third week. And you could do some open houses. I did open houses. Nobody came. I did open houses. One person came. That doesn't mean I quit and didn't do them the next day. And then some open houses, I had 8 people show up. You just never know. But it doesn't matter, because you've got to be consistent at it. And you know, it's just a numbers thing. You go through them, and so you got one bad open house out of the way, because there'll be a few. And so that means, you know, coming up is going to be a good one.
Right. So, okay, so, yeah, I love what you're saying there. You know, definitely you got to work. Like, and full-time, you know, full-time is 2,000 hours or more. Plus, you know, and it's always been a little quizzical to me, too, that people, you leave a job to go on business on your own, and then you work less. It doesn't make sense, especially your first few years. You got to lay the foundation, right?
I mean, oh, absolutely. You know, the first few years, I like to tell people it's kind of like a jet on the runway. It needs a lot of motor and energy to get off that runway. And so you're going down the runway, and it's, you know, and you're just going, and it's slow, and you're getting down that runway, and then you're just working, and then finally it lifts off into the air. And when you're first starting in this business, you're on the runway, and you are working super hard, and you need a lot of energy, because you need to get that, you need to get it rolling to get it going. You know, I always tell my agents here, the day you get your first referral is the day you know you've made it in this business, because you've been working so hard to build that momentum to get it going. And if you're doing the business right and people are pleased with you, always ask for their business. And then they will refer you. And when you get that first referral, that means you did something good for the person that referred you, and they trust you now. And then you do good for another one, and then that person will refer you. Why do you think when you talk to agents that have been in business for a long time, where do you get your business? Oh, referral. Where do you get your business? Referral. And you're new, and you're like, well, I want that business. How did they get it? They got it one deal at a time. They were going down that runway, and they were working super, super, super hard. And then it starts to build momentum, and then you start taking off. And you have to be willing to invest you know, my goal for everybody would be, you know, if you work just like what I said, that you're going to have a transaction in the first 30 days. But it's probably going to take you a year or two of good investment to really build a solid business. But that means working it constantly and hard. And I did. And I see the people that do it. I have new people that join me that are out cranking and working hard every day, and they're building successful businesses.
Yeah, it's really not a mystery, is it? That you know, and I saw this really cool interview with Oprah with Michael B. Jordan. You know, the actor that was in he played in that in the new movie there. What the hell is it called? It's like the biggest movie, superhero movie that they've done. I can't think of the name of it right now, but I think a lot of people know who he is. And he described his acting career the same way. It's like a little of this, little of this, little of this, little of this. All of a sudden, one day, you get catapulted in the stratosphere. But if you don't do all the little things to get there, and let's face it, it's not always fun to do an open house and nobody shows up. But the momentum, I call it karma. The momentum you're creating turns into karma, and then karma turns into absolutely good business if you're consistent. But, you know, it starts with a decision.
I took my realtor magazines and my industry publications, and if nobody came, I read all of those and learned from them at the open house. That's what I did. I took stuff with, so I wasn't just standing there. I was always using my time wisely. Never let a minute go by without being, you know, using it wisely and figuring out. And my goal was, before I left the open house, I had a stack of thank you cards, and my goal was to have written a thank you card by the time I left the open house for the people that had come, so I could put it in the mail at the end of that day so that they got it the next day or the day after. That was my goal. Simple little things like that. Just simple, simple little things like that. Because I could write thank you cards in between people coming. You know, there's things you can do. You know, just use your time wisely.
And you can make a phone call. I mean, I can't tell you how many of the top agents, whether it's in Nevada, Arizona, and California, absolutely started, built, and still, you know, like I know a woman in Arizona. She has an open house. She picks one of her listings, and she'll hold it open 2-3 days in a row, and then do the next one 2-3 days. She runs her. She doesn't go to the office. She does her phone calls. She has a laptop. She brings everything happens out of her open houses, especially if you have a vacant one. So,
absolutely,
all right.
You can do so much there. And I'm fortunate now. I've been, you know, I still do some business from the referral business that I built up. You know, I'm here to support all my agents. That's what I do. But I'm fortunate to have a little bit more luxury business that I do now. And that was from, you know, people like, oh, I want to join luxury. Well, how do you do that? You know, I remember my first big break was I did a really good job on a small townhome in Green Valley. And the older gentleman was so impressed, he referred me to his daughter, who was married to a top orthopedic surgeon in Las Vegas, and then I started helping some of those people. And so just always do the right thing for people, and you don't have to chase transactions. They will start to follow you if you do the right thing.
There you go. All right. I think there's no better way than to finish like that. Okay. Haiti, I will be at your office on Thursday, too. Okay.
Wonderful.
Doing a little... maximizing the second half of the year. Yeah, I saw Walt sent out the flyer. That's awesome. Well, I just want to, for everyone, Haiti, thank you very much. This is incredible. Okay, I look forward to seeing you two more times this week. Woo!
Sounds great. It was a pleasure. Thank you, everybody. Good luck, and have a fabulous day.
Thank you very much, Haiti. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.